Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. We'd like to talk it over. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, well, give us a call right now. Again, in the U.S. and Canada, it's toll-free, 844-322-2742. So call now if you can, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The theme for the month of March is New Covenant. We live in a new covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in for us 2,000 years ago. But we also know that there was an old covenant. And it's kind of a shame that we label it old covenant and new covenant. It's not really that. It's just two different covenants. The old covenant or the Mosaic covenant was a covenant that God cut between himself and the people of Israel. So those were the two parties involved in that. And it was a bilateral covenant. Now, that's a crazy word maybe for a lot of people. You're not going to read that in the Bible. But what that means is that it is a covenant that involved two parties, that each had a set of terms and conditions that they promised to meet. So the language of that old covenant was if then. So God said, if you will obey my commandments and statutes, then I will be your God and you will be my people. So there was an agreement by both of these parties. Now we see that in Exodus chapter 24. So God made the offer of this old covenant. He made it through the person of Moses. He brought down the commandments from the top of Mount Sinai, where he had met with the angel of the Lord. And he brought those down, and he spoke those words to the people of Israel. And this is how they responded in Exodus 24, verse 3. All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So there was an offer by God, and there was an acceptance by the people. So they entered into this bilateral agreement. Now, we know God was going to keep his end of the bargain. The problem was with the people of Israel. The problem with the old covenant were these very words that they echoed back to God. All the words that you have spoken, we will do. 3 weeks later, they're building the golden calf and bowing down and worshiping the very thing that they made, that they fashioned in their own image. They bowed down and said, you, O God, are the one that brought us out of Egypt. So they violated the agreement. They violated their very words. Everything that you have said, we will do. Very shortly after they entered into this agreement. So the bilateral nature of the old covenant was a negative for the people of Israel. So in the new covenant, it's not bilateral, it's simply a unilateral covenant. God simply declared that this is what's going to happen. So it is from him, and it's for us. We're simply the beneficiaries, much like a will. So someone who makes a will, they simply declare what they want done with their assets upon their death. And when that happens, when the death of the one who made the will occurs, then the will goes into effect, and those that are named in it simply receive what's been left for them. They didn't have to do anything for it. They didn't have to promise. They simply receive what was left for them. That's the nature of this new covenant, unilateral from God to man. So there is a big, huge difference. Now, this new covenant harkens back to the covenant that God made with Abraham. Mm-hmm. So really, this new covenant is the fulfillment of that Abrahamic covenant. He said that the whole world is going to be blessed through you, Abraham. God was saying that to him. And sure enough, through Jesus Christ, the entire world is blessed. So when God cut that covenant, And that's actually a biblical reality. God cut a covenant with Abraham. Now, what they would do back in those days, they would cut up some animals, and then they would lay them out, and then the two parties would pass through. And that was to show that both were equally involved, promising to carry out. And if they didn't, then the fate of those animals would be their fate. So that's what it meant to cut the covenant. Well, when Abraham cut up those animals, God put them to sleep. And God alone walked through those two, those rows of animals. What was he saying? That he alone was solely responsible for the Abrahamic covenant, for the fulfillment.
Yes.
That's exactly the way it is in the new covenant, that God alone is responsible for its fulfillment. And he has fulfilled it in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we are direct beneficiaries of this new covenant. Everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is made a partaker of the new covenant. God has done everything, we simply receive. So it, the new covenant, is unilateral from God for us. That's why it's such good news. The old covenant fell down when the people of Israel said, "All that you have commanded, we will do." That was the problem with the old. That's what God recognized, and that's why he said all along there's going to be a new covenant, and that new covenant is where we live today. Powerful stuff, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. I mean, when you look at the Mosaic covenant and just really pay attention to it, you see that bilateral nature. You know, God says things like, "I am the Lord, the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall."
Yes.
"I did my part, you do your part." But to Abraham, just like you said, he puts him to sleep and he creates this covenant. It's a promise.
Yes.
And we live by promise, not by law.
Law. And that is huge. So repeat that again. And if you're listening, you should write this down, because this is really profound stuff. We live
by promise, not by law.
Not by law. So Abrahamic covenant, new covenant, all about promise. Mosaic covenant, all about law. We don't live by law. We live by promise. We don't live in a bilateral agreement or a two-way agreement. We live in a unilateral covenant, a one-way covenant from God to us.
It's Basic Gospel, where we are, in fact, New Covenant, everybody, and we're talking about it all this month, and we want you and your family and friends to know and enter into all that God has provided for us through this New Covenant. And to help with that, we're offering a CD message called We Are New Covenant. And as you make your gift this month, we're going to send you not one, but five copies of this great message. Now, why are we doing that? Well, we want you to share it. If you have heard the message of grace in Jesus Christ, don't keep it to yourself. Don't hide your candle under a basket. Let it shine. Get these CDs and put them to work. Put them into the hands of those you love and associate with. So let's get this message out far and wide. Make your gift at BasicGospel.net or by using the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. In Canada, you can donate at BasicGospel.net/Canada. And when you do, we're going to send you five copies of We Are New Covenant. Well, right now, it's about 8 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time. You're hearing the live broadcast, if that's the time on your watch right now. We would love to hear from you at 844-322-2742, where we have open lines right now. Well, guys, we had a very interesting question from Robert, who writes to us from Milton, Florida. He says, "I upset another Christian by saying I don't believe that there are levels in hell that people will suffer, where people will suffer worse because they've committed horrific sins. I apologized and said I need to read my Bible. I don't like to argue with other believers. My belief about this is that not believing in Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection is the worst thing anyone could ever do. I believe being separated from God for eternity is going to be punishment enough. I know the Bible references weeping and gnashing of teeth, but I'm not sure exactly what that means. It sounds pretty bad, though. What's your belief on this? Thank you guys for all you do." That's from Robert in Milton, Florida.
Well, that's an excellent question, Robert, and thanks for posting that here for us to answer on Basic Gospel. Now, as far as levels of hell, I think we get that understanding probably more from Dante's Inferno than we do from the Word of God.
Yeah, he invented it.
Yes, he did. He depicted hell, and he created 9 different levels. And so that's just become a part of the collective consciousness in the world today. So we think there are different levels of punishment. But what we see in the Bible is simply this: the wages of sin is death. Yeah. So hell is really the absence of life eternally. And that's why it's darkness. That's why there's gnashing and weeping of and all of that sort of thing. But it's just singular in nature. It's death. It's spiritual death. It's just death, period. That's what somebody experiences who rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not that God sends them to hell. It's simply he's offered life. They refused life. Mm-hmm. And so they are going to suffer the consequence of that choice eternally. And what is the consequence? It is eternal death, eternal separation from God. So that's basically what we learn from the Bible. We're not going to see those different levels. Like I said, that's just simply what Dante depicted in his famous poem, and then depicted in paintings as well. But that's really not the story of the Bible. Richard, any thoughts on that?
Well, just to add that Dante called his book The Divine Comedy.
Yes.
That should tell you what he intended in all of this, because he had been picked on and thrown out of a city and all that kind of stuff, wasn't allowed to marry the woman he loved. And so he writes this thing and say, as if to say, if this is what God is like, you've got to be kidding me. And yet we picked up on it generally, like you described, and we turned that into a description of how God punishes the wicked.
Yeah.
God's not that way.
No, he's not that way at all. I mean, the good news is that from the get-go, he wants all of us to experience life. That's mm-hmm. why he sent Jesus. And that's just the nature of who he is. That's the nature of his love for mankind, that we could be made alive together with Christ. It's as simple as receiving a gift. That's all that God is asking for us to receive this gift of life that's in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he wants us to be alive, and he wants us to experience life to the full. Now, pride and rebellion in the hearts of people, those are the things that would bring a person to a point and say, no. As we read in the Bible, God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Why? A proud heart doesn't want to receive. A proud heart says, I can do it on my own. Yeah. And the consequence of that is eternal death, eternal separation from God.
And to remain that way.
Yes.
See, we start that way. If we don't choose Jesus, we remain that way. So in effect, we're already in hell if we're lost.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly. Well, we appreciate your question, Robert, and I hope you'll keep listening and call again. Bob, the visit to Israel and Petra is coming up on May 25th. What's the status for those still considering this fantastic journey?
Well, we still have some spots available. Would love for people to fill those up. It's going to be a fantastic trip. We always take a small group so we can go through the country and really absorb everything. We're going to learn a lot about Old Covenant, New Covenant. We're really going to see that truth, that reality come to life for us. Mm-hmm. We're going to walk where Jesus walked. We're going to be where he prayed, where he ministered, where he healed, where he walked on the water. We're going to take a boat ride, and then we're going to take a venture into Jordan and go to Petra and go up north to Mount Nebo, where Moses died, and come across the Jordan right there, mm-hmm. just as the people of Israel would have back in the day. It is just a life-changing trip, and if you're interested, all the information on how to come and join us is on our website at basicgospel.net. Don't miss this opportunity. It is a fantastic opportunity. It's one of the favorite things that I do in life is to take people to the Holy Land. I love doing this, and it just is exciting to see just people get overwhelmed by just the power of the gospel as they're standing in the very place that this gospel, this good news came about.
Indeed. Well, again, you can find all the information if you visit basicgospel.net. Just click the Israel 2019 link at the very, very top of the homepage. We'd love for you to be blessed by being a part of that trip. Well, guys, we had this question from Al. He says, the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, I've been a Christian for over 30 years, and I would be a clown to say that I have not grieved the Holy Spirit, yet I have no understanding at all of when I may have done that. Hence, what's the use of the scripture?
Well, that's really a good question. What does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? And oftentimes when we think about that, it's when you do something wrong and you make him mad, and he's just spitting mad at you and ready to just take it out on you. But that's really not the context. And like with all passages of Scripture, all verses, we really need to see what this context is all about. So in verse 30 of Ephesians chapter 4, we see this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So he brings to us a great reminder of something he said earlier in the book, that everyone who has believed the gospel, when that gospel came to them and they heard it and they believed it, they were sealed by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit came to take up residence in them, and that is a deposit guaranteeing what's to come. Mm-hmm. Now, the Holy Spirit is going to be doing a work inside of us. What is that work? Well, we learned about that in Ephesians chapter 3 and chapter 2. And the whole story of this eternal purpose of God is for Jew and Gentile to become one in Jesus Christ. So Jesus tore down the wall of hostility, and he's killed the hostility that was inside of us so that we could love in what were once enemies. So Jew could love Gentile, Gentile could love Jew. And then in chapter 3, Paul steps back and says, hey, I've just got to pray. I mean, I have just got to bow my knee before God the Father, from whom every family derives its name. And he says, I want to pray that you will be strengthened in your inner being with power by the Spirit, so that the height and depth and length and breadth of this great plan of God will be made clear to you, so that you can have the experience of loving others as God in Christ has loved you. So that's what the Holy Spirit is working inside of us, this love of God that can overflow into the life of another human being. So to grieve the Holy Spirit is simply to treat another human being in a different way. In other words, we might marginalize another person and treat them as an object. We see a lot of that happen in the workforce. Somebody wants to get ahead, and so in getting ahead, they marginalize a person that they step over, so to speak. Well, they're not treating them as God's Spirit is moving them to do so. So in essence, they are grieving the work of God's Spirit in these human relationships. And that really is the context, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah.
This is all about loving one another. And the specific ways we do that, and very practical ways that we do it. We don't speak falsehood. We speak truth. Why? Because we belong to one another. God's Spirit isn't going to move you to lie. He's not going to move you to speak falsehood. He's going to move you to speak truth. Mm-hmm. So if you decide to speak falsehood to another person, that falsehood is going to hurt that other person. That grieves the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah, this whole section, I mean, it's things like, if you're stealing, stop stealing and get a job so that instead of stealing, you can share.
Yes.
Don't let bitterness and wrath and anger consume you. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving as Christ has forgiven, or God has forgiven you in Christ. This is him letting the Holy Spirit be the person who is the map and the road and the pilot all at the same time.
Yes.
Instead of us getting in the way and hurting ourselves and hurting each other, because that's what always happens when we take it into our own hands.
Right, absolutely. So grieving the Holy Spirit is simply not allowing the love that God is working, what the Holy Spirit is working inside of us, to flow out of us into the life of another person.
There's nothing here that says, okay, you've grieved me enough.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. Right.
No, not at all.
No.
He's just going to continue discipline and discipline and discipline and letting that love finally overflow.
He wants your mind, your chooser, to be in line with what he's doing.
Yeah.
And so he's never going to stop that work of renewing the mind and bringing those choices in line with what God's will really is.
Yeah. Well, the Holy Spirit is a pretty popular fellow on today's broadcast. Here's another question from Dave. He says, how does a person know for sure that they have the Holy Spirit living within them? When I sin, I often think that if I truly were a Christian, I wouldn't continue to sin, and therefore I must not have the Holy Spirit living within me. So what would you say to Dave?
Well, the Holy Spirit, is going to make himself evident. And there's a union. So the Holy Spirit and our human spirit become one in spirit. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our human spirit that we are children of God, co-heirs with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So that is the job of the Spirit. So I think you're going to get some confirmation. And then the second thing is this, that God's Spirit is there to teach us about the love of God. God's Spirit has poured the love of God into our hearts. And so when we're in the presence of other people, we sense that love bubbling up inside of us. Mm-hmm. That's not something that we muster up through human effort. That's not something that we produce. We're simply bearing the fruit of God's love in us. So we're going to see that. Like I said, that is just the work of God's Spirit inside of us. John talks a whole bunch about that in his first letter, that he who is in God abides in love, love abides in him. You're just gonna see that.
Yeah.
That's just all there is to it. So the Holy Spirit is going to make his presence known. Oftentimes we judge whether or not the Holy Spirit is in us or not by our own actions and some of our thinking. Well, we can still have stinking thinking. We can still give in to the desires of the flesh, and we can look at that and make a judgment. God's Spirit must not be in me. But you're making a judgment based on you and your deeds instead of the work of Christ and the promise that he has made. So mm-hmm. we need to stick to the promise. As we said at the top of the hour, mm-hmm. we don't live by law. When you're looking at yourself, you're going to put yourself back under law. We don't live by law. We live by promise. And the Holy Spirit is God's promise, fulfilled promise, in yes. each and every one of
well,
us.
Well, we appreciate hearing from Robert, from Al, and Dave, and I hope these answers have been a help to you guys. Well, friends, this message needs to go out far and wide. That's why we're offering 5 copies of our CD, We Are New Covenant, when you make your gift in March to Basic Gospel. Jesus said men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. Instead, it's placed where everyone in the house can see it. He went on to say, in this way, let your light shine before men so that your good works may glorify your Father in heaven. So that's what we want to do, friends, and you can help us get this message out. Make your March gift at BasicGospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, please visit BasicGospel.net/Canada to make your contribution. And when you do, request your copies, all 5 of them, of We Are New Covenant. Let your light shine. A reminder, too, that our listener line is always open for any question you might have. That number, 844-322-2742. Call anytime. Again, that number is 844-322-2742. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.